Let's come to God in a prayer. Let's pray. Help us to be still for just a moment, Lord, to shut out the clamour of the world, the noise of commerce, the sounds of travel, the noise in our heads, telling us to think of all sorts of things, what we must do later, what's for dinner, what the weather's like outside, the concerns of the week to come, the worries for those we love. Help us to be still, to listen for your voice, as we take time to think on your word. Amen. Thanks be to God. Yesterday, here in our church, we welcomed two little ones into the Church of Jesus Christ. In short, we had a baptism. Normally, the Presbyterian way is to welcome adults and children through this sacrament in the face of a congregation, usually on a Sunday, because that's when you're all here. Sometimes, for logistical reasons, perhaps family can't be there on the Sunday for one reason or another, the service is held on another day. Usually, the church tries to be flexible in those cases. Not always, but for me, it's very important to allow some flexibility within the rules because it's incredibly important to have the support of those we're close to when it comes to matters of faith. As a grandmother, I particularly enjoy the beginning of this letter of Paul to Timothy that Kathy read for us today. Paul was writing from prison, as you probably know, to his disciple, so close that he calls him his son. And he begins by reminding Timothy how he came to faith. Who does he have to thank for his life of faith, aside from Paul himself, that is? Well, it's his mother, Eunice, and his grandmother, Lois. Like many mothers and grandmothers, I've tried, along with James, to encourage our children and grandchildren to come along to church. They know what we stand for, and we often beat ourselves up when we think we've failed. We are not alone. Almost every Church of Jesus Christ is suffering from the same lack of young people. Parents and grandparents the world over have tried, often seemingly in vain, to persuade the younger generation that the church is a place where they can learn to live life in all its fullness. As churches, we worry about the lack of young people in our midst all the time, and we should. And as a minister, every time I've changed jobs, I've been asked what I would do to bring young people into the church. And every time, my answer has been along the lines of, well, I don't have any one answer. Yes, there are lots of ideas flying around. Why don't we chuck out our old ways of doing things? Update, upgrade, move on. Well, yes, we do need to continually examine our practices so that we're accessible to all ages and stages of people. The irritating thing about people, though, is that they grow and change all the time, and no one size fits all. But here's the thing. I have never been asked what I would do to help nurture and grow the faith of our older people. If we take note of those words of Paul, then we can see how the faith is passed on, how that little seed of faith that Luke spoke about is grown. If we do not take care of the faith of our older people, then we cannot be surprised if our young people do not seem to be interested. There's an excellent book called Sticky Faith, which looks at how we give our young people something that will stay with them. And in the book, there's a quote from one young guy who says this: God is not the friend he was in high school. He's more like the grandparent at home that I only visit on holidays or special occasions. I am a grandparent, and now I'm far away from the children whose lives I was very involved in when they were little. But because we are separated by many miles, I'm even more careful to keep in touch. Are we doing that with our own young people who are no longer here with us? Are we keeping in touch with those we've nurtured? If not, why not? It's what families do. And you don't have to physically be a mother or a grandmother, or indeed a father or a grandfather, to be the person that nurtures a young person's faith. If there's one thing that the church has in shedloads, it is older people. People with stories to tell, people of faith who've lived through all sorts of things, people that have the ability to pass on what they've learned and to show concern and love for those youngsters that are in our midst or have moved on to study or work somewhere else. We may not always get a response, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't keep on trying, and that doesn't mean it is not appreciated. Supportive and loving families don't give up on folks. They don't cast aside their old people, and they don't give up on their young people, even if they're far away, perhaps especially if they are far away. In fact, we shouldn't give up on anyone. There's a school of thought, and I am inclined to be in that school, that says no one should ever be removed from a membership role in our churches. We don't, or at least we shouldn't, cut off our family because they don't come to visit often enough. We always try to cut them some slack because we don't always know the reasons why we don't see them as often as we would like. If you can cast your minds back to the last time you were at a baptism, there may have been, I hope there was, a response required from the congregation, a chance to reconfirm your own vows, and a chance also to promise to, I quote, behave towards all God's children in a kindly and Christian way. It is not up to the minister to pass on the faith to the next generation or have all the answers as to how to do that. It's up to us all in the way we behave towards the children we have in our midst and, of course, towards every single person, young, old or in the middle, that we meet on a daily basis. Are we a people who are known by our love? Or are we, let's be honest, a little bit ashamed of our faith, ashamed to own our Lord? Today's readings are about faith. How can we nurture it? How we can help each other, as Paul says, fan into flame the gift of God and access that spirit of power, of love, of self-discipline. We need to be closer to each other, to learn to listen to what people need. And that's not easy because everyone's needs are different. Loving effectively is hard work. Now, I just need to qualify that statement a bit. That doesn't mean being intrusive. It means being sensitive, being there when we are needed and learning to back off when others need space. And to foster this kind of sensitivity, we really need ears to listen to others and to listen to God. We need to get to know each other so well that we infect each other with faith. We pass on the virus for which I believe there is no cure. I'd like to finish with this quote from a minister friend of mine commenting on that passage from Luke. The disciples in the passage from Luke seem to think that the depth of their faith is a gift of God that they receive passively. They come to Jesus asking him to increase their faith as if they are simply empty containers waiting to be filled up to the brim by God. In order to be a super healthy body of Christ, we need to flex our muscles, welcome and nurture those in our midst, old, young, or in the middle, those who come every week and those who come occasionally. That means supporting each other, whether we're near or far, and we have the means to do that now that the information highway is so accessible. Let us together move forward in faith, stopping in all the busyness of our days from time to time to listen carefully for God's voice, watching attentively for where he wishes to lead us, looking around us for those in need, and taking care of each and every member of our family. A prayer from the Iona community to finish. O Christ, the master carpenter, who at the last through wood and nails purchased our whole salvation, wield well your tools in the workshop of your world, so that we who come rough-hewn to your bench may here be fashioned to a truer beauty by your hand. Amen.